This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 410, and we're sponsored by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. We're also sponsored by Microsoft, your go-to resource for collaboration tools your company needs to be successful. Well, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. I hope that Santa Claus or Harry Hanukkah brought you what you wanted this year. Well, I've been surfing and buying things on the internet for over 20 years, but digital behavior has changed a lot during that time. Here to help on what you need to know on how to market to consumers successfully is Rich Kahn, who is recognized as security expert and the most notable search engine marketing gurus in the advertising industry. He's the CEO of eZanga.com, an online advertising services company that he founded with his wife in 2010. Rich received the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in technology. Plus, he was the finalist in the American Business Awards for Best Executive of the Year. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Let's talk about how has digital behavior really changed, I guess, over the last 5 or 10 years?
Wow. A lot. I've seen the industry grow since 93, so it's been a lot of changes over the last couple decades. And probably the biggest thing over the past 5 or 10 years is a lot more social taking place. That's probably the biggest, single biggest change is all the social networks popping up in the last 5 or 10 years. With a huge adoption rate, everybody's going to them and using them for all kinds of stuff, and it's marketing is getting a big part of that as well. So that's probably the single biggest change that I can see, probably in the last 5 or 10 years.
So when you say that, obviously social media has really cropped up. How has that really changed how brands market their business? Is because of social, we're now marketing to each other rather than the brands marketing to us?
There's a combination of things. I mean, it depends on the product, obviously, product nature. If you're targeting millennials, you're targeting, seniors. It depends on what you're looking at. But if a lot of people from all age groups are using social, so my marketing mantra is always, you have to advertise where the people are, where your customers live and spend time. So, when I was first doing this, people were spending most of their time in front of newspapers, TVs, and radio, and internet was just starting to come about, mostly like email marketing, stuff like that. But over time, things have changed. It went from, people still heavily use search engines to find what they're looking for, but they're starting to spend more time in front of their social networks. I mean, they're spending most of their time in front of social networks when they're on their devices, and there is the prime place to hit up your audience. These social networks have such targeting criteria, so they know exactly who you are, what your interests are, age group, demographics, what kind of cars you're into. They know everything. So being able to pinpoint target your message to the right audience, social has really got it locked up there.
We're talking with Rich Kahn. He's the CEO of eZanga.com. Rich, but do people get upset when you're marketing to them in a place where they went for, quote-unquote, social purposes?
Yeah, you've got a mixed – I think there's a mixed audience out there. You've got people who are using ad blockers to try to block – the stuff when they really don't want to see that stuff. So it does annoy them. But at the end of the day, you're getting the service for free. And as we all know, there's no such thing as free.
Right, exactly.
Somewhere's got to get paid for. So marketing has what pays most of the internet technologies out there, so including social. So you kind of have to live with it a little bit. But if the messages are at least targeted, I mean, if you're going online and, and this happens to all of us, you start off on Google, you start doing searching for, say, I was a good example. I was looking for a generator for my house because I've noticed the people to the left of me had one, the people to the right of me had one, so chances are I'm probably going to need one as well. So I started doing some research on it. Next thing you know, everywhere I went, I saw different generators. So at least the message was keeping in front of me that, hey, I know I got to get this, and, oh, there's a company I didn't hear about. And then that's how you – so you don't mind those. However, some people, they just don't want to see it regardless. They only want to see marketing messages when they want to. So I've had some articles that I've written on that topic, that exact topic, that the only way to eliminate that is to charge the user for the service. And most people aren't willing to pay for the service. So either you pay for it or you're going to pay for it through seeing ads. One way or the other, the company has to make some money to cover the cost of your storage and your infrastructure and everything else that they do for you. So
Rich,
kind of a mixed.
Yeah, my question is, though, do you think that selling in these kind of environments is a little bit different? We see a lot of folks doing, you know, content marketing where they're showing themselves an expert, but they're not exactly pitching a product. Do we see a shift towards that, or it's just, hey, I'm sponsoring this ad, it's on the right side, or it's in my stream, and you know, people look at it or they skip over it?
Well, in our world, because again, we do a lot of marketing for clients, we see a good mix of both. The biggest thing that's always been around is content is king. So if you're writing about stuff, even if you're not specifically saying, hey, this is the product you want to buy, but you're writing about stuff and you're mentioning products, you know, some people like that type of marketing where they're learning something and they're obviously being directed towards a particular product. Others, you know, just habit. You watch TV, you listen to the radio, you see billboards, you're used to seeing commercials or being advertised in front of, and both are effective if used properly. So it really... And it's like there's no single shotgun approach to marketing, so a mix of marketing messages to get to different people is the best way to do it. So both are really, really effective.
Now, you talked about different people. Obviously, you have, you know, boomers and Xers and millennials and Gen Z, you know, on the web. Do they have different digital behaviors and therefore need to market to them differently?
Of course. Everybody uses the internet differently. So like your older crowds tend to spend more time on Facebook as a social network when it comes to social networks, where newer millennials are spending time elsewhere like Instagram and Snapchat and a bunch of different other places. So depending on the demographic you're shooting for will depend on where the larger sector of those people exist. So your marketing message should be tailored to them. Depending on what your product is, your services, if you cover the gamut of people, you know, let's say it's a computer or a new phone, because that hits pretty much every age group. You want to be able to target a message to each group specifically, and with the social networks, you can easily do that. Again, like I said, they already know their user profile, so you can target the message specifically. So marketing really, even though it's changed in the medium, it really hasn't changed how it works. Human behavior is human behavior. So when you're targeting somebody, the marketing message is extremely important to go after the right demographic, and you're not going to come up with a single message that hits everybody. Very few companies are successful at that. Maybe like a Nike or something like that might be successful at that, but very few companies are not coming up with a single marketing message that will hit all age groups.
Now, talking about not a single marketing message, you know, last year more searches were done on mobile than were really done on desktop devices, and a lot of buying this year obviously has been done on mobile devices. How do you capitalize on this new marketing, or I guess this new mobile trend?
It's the same marketing trend that's happened since the dawn of time. You have to be where your clients are, and right now clients are moving off their desktop onto mobiles, so your marketing message has to be a little different. The format has to be different, but the same thing exists. You have to have a marketing message for the right people. You have to target those people differently. You have to make the buying process simple, again, because you're not in front of a desktop. So the desktop, you have a full keyboard, your mouse, and you have a big display. So if you're going to be on a smaller device, you need to make the tools simple to use on that device to make it easy for people to buy. And Amazon is a perfect example. They did a phenomenal job where you can just walk up to a product, scan it, get the best price, hit go.
Exactly.
2 days later, it shows up at your door.
Exactly. You know, perfect. Absolutely perfect. The other question that I really have is that a lot of people try to do this alone. And it's not that easy to do search engine marketing without the expertise, right?
I agree 100%. People, I mean, you can do it. The tools are right there. If you're going to do it on Google, Facebook, I mean, the tools are there to simply set up and go. But then you're competing against people like me who have been doing this for decades. You want the team of experts to help you. And like I said, you don't pay that much for it. In fact, if you have a client, a company that's doing this for you, they may be charging you a small percentage for their markets, you know, for their services, but the amount of money that they're going to save you in training and lost revenue, you can't even put a price tag on it, because it's going to be cheaper at the end of the day to use it professionals than it is to do it on your own, unless you have the time and the patience to learn the industry and you're able to do that, which a lot of people can do. But most people, most businesses, they're too busy running their business. They don't have time to learn something new. So hiring an expert, for example, how many of us have accountants? Most of us. No one wants to sit there and learn the tax code. So we pay accountants to do the job, so it's faster, more efficient, and we don't have to worry about all the details. They do.
Yeah, Rich, I always say the fastest way to lose $500 is not at the craps table in Las Vegas. It's by trying to do search engine marketing by yourself. So I definitely think you should get some help. The last question I have for you, and I only got about 30 seconds left, is ad fraud really a concern for businesses doing this kind of advertising online?
Absolutely. There's two truths about the internet that I've learned over the last 20, almost 24 years now. One is people don't read, they skim and scan. And two, if you pay someone to do something on the internet, the cheaters will come out of the woodwork and find ways to get around anything you put in front of them. So fraud is a huge problem. Most people are not aware of how big of a problem it is, but it is a huge problem. So you need the tools to make sure that you're not being affected by it and you're protecting your advertising budget from it.
That's another thing to look at. Well, we're out of time. Rich, thanks for being on the show. If you want to reach Rich, go to www.ezanga.com. Next, I'll disclose the biggest security risk inside your small business. And as no surprise, it starts with your password. This is AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Glen Ellen, Roosevelt near Nicole Way, there's been a report of a crash. And also in the Chicago area, the CTA buses number 36 Broadway. Temporary reroute in both directions between Broadway, Belmont, Halstead, and Clark. That's all because of an ongoing street blockage. Now, on the roadways, everything's moving pretty nicely this morning. There's no delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. The Eisenhower continues to be problem-free as well. Stevenson moving with no delays. And the Dan Ryan, along with the I-57 Bishop Ford, continue to be problem-free as well. Again, the Roosevelt near Nicole Way, there's a crash that's in the Glen Ellen area. Taking a look at the temperatures, tonight 31 and cloudy. Tomorrow 37 and rain. Currently it's 34 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning with Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I feel like at least 50% better so far. I'm not as fatigued because I do construction work, so I normally get knocked around a lot. And I'm like 60 plus years old, and I'm still doing it. And I can start beating guys half my age now.
Dr. Howard has put together an all-new health challenge that will absolutely allow you to find out for yourself what Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies will do for you. The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of free product. Yes, 2 months of free Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. Call now for details. And who knows, you may be hearing your own success story on the radio. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Friday is the best nutritional supplement on the market.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, small businesses get hacked a lot. It typically costs about $40,000 to fix when there's a problem. The crazy thing is that a lot of security solutions are actually pretty simple. Here to show us how is Darren Guccione, who's the CEO and co-founder of Keeper Security, created Keeper, the world's most popular password manager and secure digital vault. It protects more than 3,000 organizations worldwide. Darren's regularly featured as a cybersecurity expert in major media outlets. Keeper won the Chicago Innovation Awards, and Darren was recently in the Chicago Top Tech 50 by Crain Chicago Business Magazine. Darren, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So this security hacks cost small businesses a lot, and one of the biggest problems is passwords. You mean I just can't keep the password at password 1 or welcome 123?
No. That's the biggest problem. You know, 63% of all cybersecurity breaches are a result of weak passwords or poor password management practices. And unfortunately, you know, us as consumers and employees of organizations, you know, practice some pretty tough habits, and they result in a lot of problems.
And this is a big problem because you say in one of the reports that you sponsored that more than 50% of small and medium-sized businesses get hacked. That's an astounding number.
Yeah, I mean, it's upwards of 30,000 websites a day.
Wow.
It's quite alarming, and it's getting worse, not better.
What does the typical hack actually look like?
Well, I mean, on average, they typically start with phishing scams. By phishing, it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Right.
And a hacker will send a slew of emails to a series of individuals and attempt to gain login credentials to a website. So, for example, you may get a false email from a bank. You think it's the bank's website. You click on it. It asks you to enter your username and master password. You do that, and behind the scenes, that entire website is malicious, is controlled by a hacker. They take those login credentials. They figure out where else you transact on the internet, what other services or social media sites you use, and then they begin applying those login credentials to those sites and services. Now, the problem that you run into is that most consumers use the same login credentials on all of their websites. So this is where the problems start, and this is how the hackers typically wind up breaching.
And so how do you protect, or how do you educate your employees that these things could be phishing schemes or they're actually real?
Well, one of the things that we recommend as a security company is to run a mock phishing exercise against your own organization. So the office of CEO, if you're a small company, or the office manager, or even an IT security admin, can run, you know, an email, just as an example, and see how many employees of the organization actually do it. They tabulate that. And without singling anyone out, they issue a report and say, here's an example of what just happened, and here's what you have to look out for. Do not click on emails like this, or, you know, they just service various examples. And you've seen this time and time again. I don't know if you were familiar with the wire scam, but there were several companies that paid millions of dollars in wire transfers that were initiated, you know, quite innocently at the request of a CEO when the request was completely bogus. And on the other side of the wire were a bunch of hackers located in China and wound up stealing millions of dollars. This happened over the past 18 months. And so it all comes down to education, educating consumers and employees on what phishing actually is, educating them on what type of emails they need to ignore and not click on, and also making them realize that, look, I as a CEO will never ask you to wire money to someone outside of a very specific internal control process.
Right.
And especially,
I don't want it in iTunes cards, right?
Correct.
Exactly. So how does having stronger passwords actually help? Because if someone falls victim to a phishing scam, if I put my password in, I put my password in no matter how strong it is.
Right. So this is the first thing. So the key here is that you want to use random high-strength passwords. That's number one. Number two, you want to use a separate random high-strength password for every website you work with. So, for example, I transact with, I don't know, probably 300-plus websites and vendor sites. So my product that we use here is a password management application that creates a high-strength random password for every website that we use. So I have no idea what my passwords are, but I can tell you that if a hacker was able to guess one of them, the damage would be minimal as opposed to pervasive. And in most cases, at the consumer level or even at the organizational level, you'll see that, for example, when the Office of Personnel Management at the U.S. government is breached, the hackers wound up stealing millions and millions of records. And that gets into, you know, different things like encryption and how plain text information should be stored in an encrypted format. So it goes beyond passwords, but passwords are always the weakest link.
So, Darren, so you really need to have different passwords and, I guess, random passwords for each website you go into, and you're not going to remember that, right? And so use a tool like yours, which is really a password manager, secure digital vault. But isn't there a password to the password manager and secure digital vault?
Yes. So when you have a digital vault like this, like Keeper, for instance, you have one master password that you have to remember. So that's random. And you remember that password. But then as a second factor, which you can turn on, you can also authenticate into the vault with your fingerprint or an additional code that we can generate that's specific and local to your device only. So for a hacker to be able to breach your vault, they would need to steal your physical device, have your master password, as well as your fingerprint. And so when we start layering these different security measures, which are very convenient for the user, by the way, because I can log into my vault within about 2 seconds, it makes it very difficult for a hacker located in a remote area to breach your vault because they have to be physically present at your device.
And so I assume that this works from all devices, whether I'm logging in from my smartphone or my desktop.
That's correct. So it's platform and device-wide. Every operating system, every type of smartphone, tablet, and computer, the product works seamlessly on.
And so what happens if your smartphone doesn't have a fingerprint sensor on it?
You can just simply use your master password. And when you turn on two-factor authentication, you can also tie it to your smartwatch. So as a second factor, I can turn on what's called Keeper DNA. And it'll ping my Apple Watch, for instance, when I log in, and I simply tap the watch that's on my wrist, and it authenticates me into the vault instantly.
I like that part. So what does it cost for a small business owner to implement this kind of solution, and how technologically difficult, Darren, is it to do it?
Well, for individuals, it's $30 a year, covers unlimited devices, and for businesses, it's $30 per user per year, unlimited devices. So it's pretty simple to set up. There's a $750 admin console fee for businesses as well, and that's an administrative console that we do full training, and you get as much training as you need for that price from the time that you have the product at no additional charge. And it allows you to control and govern all of the devices and employees that are on the platform.
So you've been in around technology for a long time in Chicago. How effective is this? How many times has these kinds of password managers and secure digital vaults actually been breached?
Well, ours has never been breached, which is great. You know, we have what's called a zero-knowledge security architecture, which is quite unique in our industry. And what that means is that we do not control or have access to the encryption key or master password that's used to encrypt and decrypt your information. So the only thing that we do as a company is we deliver the software to your device and we store what's called an encrypted binary or backup file of your cloud vault in our cloud security architecture so that in the event your device is lost or stolen, you can basically restore your vault records within seconds. But all of the encryption keys reside locally on your device, not in our servers.
Darren, thank you so much. If you want to reach Darren, go to keepersecurity.com. Coming up, do you have a sales manager or a sales leader in your company? How to tell the difference? Is AM 560 the answer? We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. A Christmas tragedy in Russia. A plane carrying the famous Andropov band and choir crashes.
7 minutes into their flight, the plane ditched into the Black Sea, about 6 kilometers off the coast.
Sky News' Arshish Joshi, at least 90 people on board. Moscow says no one survived.
They're also ruling out terrorism because it's a military plane. The chances of it being a terrorist strike are quite remote.
The band was on its way to perform a concert for Russian troops in Syria. And one of Howard Stern's radio crew dies, Joey Boots, known for photobombing news crews with his catchphrase, Baba Booey, developed his own podcast show.
These boots are made.
Boots's real name was Joseph Basilino, was found dead in his New York City apartment. He was 49. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Glen Ellen, Roosevelt at Nicole Way, there's a report of a crash. And also there's problems on the CTA. The buses, the number 36 Broadway buses, are temporarily rerouted in both directions via Broadway, Belmont, Halstead, and Clark. That's all due to a street blockage. Now, there's no delays on the Edens. The Kennedy's moving quite well as well. Eisenhower has no delays, but between the Circle and Wells, there is road construction. That left lane remains blocked. The outbound side has two lanes blocked, and that continues until the summer of 2018. No problems on the Stevenson. There is construction between State and Lakeshore. That's long-term road construction both directions. That continues until late 2017. Looking at the temperatures tonight, 33 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 37 with rain. Currently, it is 34 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
We're here reporting live from Santa's workshop. Santa, thanks for taking time in the busiest season of the year.
Oh, we stay busy all year round.
How do you stay so busy without getting sick?
That's easy. My elves and I take Balance of Nature.
Balance of Nature? What's that?
Using the magic of modern technology, Balance of Nature has taken whole fruits and vegetables and stuffed them into little capsules.
And they keep you healthy?
Works for me. What do you think, Gimbal?
Well, I take it, and I haven't had a sick day in over 3,000 years.
So make sure to stuff your stockings with Balance of Nature fruits and veggies.
There you have it from the man himself. Stuff your stockings with Balance of Nature fruits and veggies to stay healthy all year round. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code Chicago.
Have a Merry Christmas and a Healthy New Year.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So this is usually how it works. The person that becomes the sales manager in your company is usually a senior sales rep or someone that's had a lot of recent success. While this may feel the role of the sales manager, you probably don't have a sales leader. Here to help us show us how to grow actual sales leader is Suzanne Paling. She is a recognized leader in sales management, founded Sales Management Services to provide practical advice to company president, owners, and entrepreneurs. She's got a book out. It's called The Sales Leader's Problem Solver. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Barry, thank you for inviting me to be on.
So what is really the difference between a sales manager and a sales leader?
That's a great question. The sales representative works for the customer, whereas the sales manager works for the company. The sales rep is an individual contributor. The sales manager accomplishes goals through others. The sales rep is tasked with an individual revenue goal. The sales manager is tasked with a group revenue goal. The rep calls on customers regularly, advocates for the customer, gets along reasonably well with peers, and uses resources to make themselves successful. The sales manager accompanies sales reps on customer visits, upholds company policies and procedures, has higher firepower over the reps, and provides resources to make the rep successful. The big difference between the manager and the leader is the motivation piece. The sales manager is concerned with goals and percentage of quota achieved, which is all very valid. But a sales leader is really about motivating and inspiring people to do their very best.
So, Suzanne, do you need to be both a sales manager and a sales leader, or do sometimes those functions exist in different people in the organization?
You absolutely have to have both pieces. You have to be able to hold reps accountable to their minimum performance standards, such as prospecting calls, presentations, sales appointments. Those things matter because goals like that keep a rep focused. But you also have to develop a trust. The reps have to trust you. They have to be willing to follow you, listen to you. When times are hard, you have to be able to motivate them to get back up and try to make another phone call or go on another appointment. So both pieces are very important.
So how do you learn if you've only been a sales rep and now you're promoted to be a sales manager and a sales leader? How do you learn that job? Because I think a lot of these things, you don't get them from the skills that made you successful being a sales rep.
No, you're absolutely right. Every year I see really strong salespeople get promoted to a sales leadership position, receive little or no training, and then just be expected to do their job. They put in long hours trying to figure out what to do. Often they just don't know how to go about solving some of the most common sales staff problems. As they progress in their career, especially if they work for smaller sized companies, they don't have any type of mentor with sales management experience. They need guidance on handling a tricky issue and wish they had a toll-free number for a sales management hotline.
Exactly.
So they could talk to someone about it. And I hope my new book, The Sales Leader's Problem Solver, provides some of that help and assistance, coaching and mentoring. Above all else, if someone's been newly promoted and they aren't being provided any training, I would recommend that they read some good books on the subject. follow some thinkers in the industry, sales leaders, you know, follow their blogs and various things that they're doing.
You know, it's really interesting, Suzanne, because in the 80s, when I finally became a sales manager, a sales leader at IBM, they actually sent us away for a month to sales, to training school. They called it Charm School, but we actually went to New York for 30 solid days to mm-hmm. learn how to be a sales leader. That mm-hmm. was an incredible amount of time.
Oh, yeah. In large companies to this day still do that kind of thing. But in most small companies, sales management training isn't in the budget. Sales training, often, even in smaller companies, gets put in the budget, but sales management training does not.
What do you think of the idea that a lot of small businesses, as you say, they promote a very successful sales rep to the sales manager, sales leader position? Is that a good idea or is that a bad idea? In other words, someone who was a player, can they be a coach? Or as it happens in the major leagues, a lot of times you have very mediocre players really being great managers.
I agree completely with you, Barry. Most of the time, promoting the superstar salesperson into the sales management position does not work. And in fact, I devote two chapters to it, the selling sales manager and the superstar sales manager. Most of the time, it simply doesn't work. They are loners, the superstar salespeople. Oftentimes, they have a very difficult time describing to other people what they do, and they have a hard time understanding why anyone else would need to be motivated because they themselves are so very motivated.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting problem, and I really think that it takes two different kinds of people. The title of the book is called The Sales Leader's Problem Solver. Suzanne, where can you get the book, and where can you get people get in touch with you?
The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in the bookstores, and they can get in touch with me at www.salesmanagementservices.com. All my contact information is there.
Suzanne, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, there actually is a solution to your sales problem because there is science, real science behind selling that can help you close your next deal. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back with that solution.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Glen Ellen, Roosevelt near Nicoll Way, there's a report of a crash. Also on the north side, Wellington near Pine Grove Avenue, there's a report of a structure fire. It's involving the back porch of a five-story building. Also in Dalton, Chicago at Greenwood, which is just south of 142nd Street, it's a report of a car fire, and also in Gary, McKinley, at north of Route 12, there's been a report of a wreck. No delays on the Edens or any of the other major roadways out there this evening. However, on Lakeshore Drive between 18th and the Stevenson, heading southbound, there's road reduced down to three lanes with construction. Also northbound between 31st and the Stevenson, roads reduced down to three lanes as well. Tonight, 33 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 37 with rain. Currently, it's 34 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, since the beginning of time, sales has always been a challenge for small business owners. Most of them actually just hate it. But my next guest says there's really a science around selling that can attract more customers. David Hoffeld, the CEO and chief sales trainer of Hoffeld Group. He's pioneered a revolutionary sales approach based on neuroscience, social psychology, and behavioral economics that radically increases sales. He literally wrote the book on it. He's the author of a groundbreaking new book called The Science of Selling, published by Penguin Random House. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. It's great to be with you today.
Now, I'm so glad that there now is a science for selling, so I don't have to rely on my skill. Tell us how you came about this whole idea that there's actually science behind this.
Yeah, what I found is many years ago, over a decade ago, I stumbled on an academic journal in social psychology, and I saw how what I read in that journal was applicable to what I did every day as a sales professional. And so that started really a passion of mine in, oddly enough, reading academic journals to understand how our brains make choices and the factors that influence what we say, how we act, what we decide to buy. And what the research shows is that there are predictable behaviors that guide people in choosing one way versus another. And so I say there has never been a more exciting time to be in sales because of this explosion of scientific research.
So what is the science behind sales, and how can I actually use it to my advantage?
Yeah, what this science shows us is how our buyers, how our potential customers make choices. And oftentimes in sales, what the research shows is we often get in the way of that, meaning we present ourselves or our companies or our products or services in ways that conflict with how our brains make choices. And all of us have experienced negative times with salespeople or customer service reps where we become frustrated. Well, what prompts that? Well, we're getting in the way of the sale. So we show salespeople and business leaders how to literally align how they sell with how the brain makes a buying decision. And Barry, real quickly, this is success or failure in sales, because what the research conclusively shows is the more aligned your way of selling is with how the brain makes a buying decision, the more effective you will be.
So take us through a scenario so this becomes real. We're just not talking theoreticals.
Absolutely. Let me share with you one of the biggest struggles a lot of companies have, and that is generating new business. How do we do that? There's a scientific principle that we teach our clients to leverage that we talk about in my book in detail called reciprocity. So reciprocity is a social norm, and it says that we should repay others for what they have done for us. So for example, when we want to initiate a dialogue with a new client, whether that's via email or social media or even a cold call, how do we do that? We begin by presenting value. I don't ask for their time to explore if I can give them value. I do research on this client. I understand what can I give them that'll demonstrate my expertise, that'll provide meaningful value for them. So maybe it's a white paper or an insight or a video or a blog post. And then I ask. Then people are far more likely now to reciprocate by giving their time once I give them something of value. So we leverage that science to always lead with value.
Does everyone want to reciprocate? Is that part of the human condition?
Yeah, reciprocity says we feel a psychological debt when someone gives us something. For example, one famous study in this area, and there have been literally hundreds, found that when someone was given a small gift during a sales call, just actually a Coca-Cola, that buying compliance rates doubled, sales doubled.
Wow.
Why? Because we feel indebted. We're more likely to listen now. We're more likely to answer questions. So little things, research shows, can often make a profound difference.
And so what other scientific findings that you can use through the rest of the sales call then actually enable you to close the sale?
There are so many exciting breakthroughs right now. What we found that's really revolutionary is a number of things. One of them is how commitments enable buying decisions. We oftentimes in sales think of commitments that happen at the end of the sale, at the close, and that's certainly the case. But what the research and decades of research shows is that a buying decision is made up of small strategic commitments that guide people in a progression of consent and naturally advance the sale. It's how our brains make choices. So we show salespeople, how do I obtain those commitments? How do I make it easy for my customer to say yes to me at the end of the sale?
And so do I ask them for small commitments during the sales process? Is that what you try to do?
Yeah, and it's not just merely commitments, but it's certain. We found that there are six strategic commitments that must be made or else our brains cannot say yes at the end of the sale. So this is based on decades of research. So it's not merely asking for commitments. It's asking for certain ones that enable that buying decision, that are literally the building blocks of the entire sales process.
So give us an example, David.
One of the foundational ones is why change? So this is something anytime we enter a selling situation, we have to address. Why should that person break through what researchers call a status quo bias, meaning it's easier, it's less risky to do nothing than something. So how do we guide people in making a commitment to change? Because until they do, everything we say or do as sales or business professionals is irrelevant. So we do that by giving them insights, by breaking through that status quo bias that's showing them that change is an imperative. But that's a foundational commitment, and that's the one that everything else is built on.
I think it really can help small business owners. Where can people get a copy of the book, David?
The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere fine books are sold. You can pick up a copy of The Science of Selling.
Just the fine books. David, thanks so much for being on the show.
All right. Thank you, Barry. It's been fun.
Coming up, if the future for 2017 is technology, it can really be summed up in just three words: the Internet of Things. That's coming up next. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of the book.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Dr. Amy has really helped me. After experiencing a divorce in my 50s, I wasn't sure how to handle the stress and changes I was about to encounter. I needed to find a new profession since my ex-husband and I had worked together at our own company, plus there were other challenges with our own grown kids, family, and friends. It was wonderful to have Dr. Amy's guidance through this difficult situation. She kept me on track and assured me I was thinking correctly. She made a very hard time easier, and I will forever be grateful. If you're going through some hard life struggles, I would highly recommend Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, if the future of technology for 2017 can be summed up in three words, those words would be the Internet of Things, or IoT. Here to talk about what it is and what it can do for your business is Maciek Krantz, who's the Vice President of Strategic Innovations Group at Cisco, brings 30 years of networking industry experience to his position. Maciek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Great to be here.
So we hear these words, Internet of Things, IoT. What is it, and what are the biggest misconceptions around it?
Sure. IoT, in a nutshell, is everything getting connected to everything. So machines, devices, cars, robots, other things, connecting to each other, to the networks, and in some cases to the Internet. And probably the two big misconceptions about IoT. The first one is that it actually is happening in a consumer space, in a connected home. And the second one is it's sort of somewhere in the future. The reality is that IoT is happening today, but it's happening mostly in the business settings. So organizations are using this technology to improve their businesses and to transform their businesses.
You know, this is very interesting because when I think of IoT, I do think of it in the consumer space. You know, I'm walking into my house and I tell Alexa that, hey, turn on the light. You know, but how are small and medium-sized businesses using the Internet of Things?
You know, there are lots of, actually, there are thousands of businesses. I can give you a couple of examples. So Harley Davidson used Internet of Things to reduce the time it takes for you and I to receive their product, the custom bike, from 18 months to 2 weeks. My employer used Internet of Things to reduce the power consumption in their plants by 20%. People like Rio Tinto or Goldcorp mining companies, they reduced the breakdowns of their vehicles in their mines. And every time the vehicle in the mine will break down, it will cost them $2 million. So there are some very tangible benefits that organizations are realizing today.
So Maciek, dig into one of those examples for a minute and tell us how they actually did that. Like, how did Cisco actually do that?
Sure. So I can maybe use the example of Harley Davidson,
sure,
because it's probably very telling. So before IoT, they used to operate like a collection of separate islands where all the functions from purchasing to logistics and even stations in their production plant operated as silos. So as a result, they were very inefficient, and that's why it took them 18 months from the time you and I would place an order to the time they would ship the product. So what they decided to do was to connect all these islands, starting in the production plant, into one network. And then once the data started flowing, they started to optimize all of these processes. They were able to reduce the time dramatically. So it's not rocket science. It's mm-hmm. just basically connect your devices, connect them on the same network, put the analytics and operational and management software on top, and you would start benefiting from that.
Well, Maciek, thanks for being on the show. And where can you get your new book? It's called Building the Internet of Things.
Yeah, you can buy it in any of major sites and bookstores. And if you need more information, you can go to my website also at www.maciekkrantz.com.
Maciek, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us this show this week. I want to thank our sponsors, Microsoft and Nextiva. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful in 2017, if you want to bring your business to the next level, you got to give me a call. And I've set up a private line for this. It's 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't 2017 the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Isn't it the year that you finally move your business forward and make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, can't wait for the new year. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Holiday parties come in all